in here, and God wants to move in you. Amen. If he's on the move, what he's not, it's not in these four walls, it's in your heart. Amen. God wants to do something through your life. He wants to do something that will glorify him. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Millie, would you stand up, sweetie, and come up here for just a moment? And we just want you to know that we pray for you every day, and we love you, and tell us something wonderful, sweetheart.
Well, God's good, and you know, it's astounding to me sometimes what this little body is doing in the community and the seeds that God is planting in the community through Paris Christian Center. And more than that, what's being planted in the kingdom of God. I just praise him and thank him for that. Father, we just thank you for this service, Father, and your words that are going to go out. Father, help us to apply them to our lives. Thank you for every day and every breath that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, it's so good to be here with you. And if you have something you'd like to say, if you would give us the Reader's Digest version, you can say something real quick. Anybody want to say anything? Very good call. You know, I want to share with you for a few moments on this thought here, that there are people, and I believe that you are some of them, that are famous in the throne room. Famous in the throne room. I'm going to begin reading at Isaiah 66, and I want to challenge you tonight. Let's make it fashionable to come to this church with a Bible. Amen? And let me say this here. If you don't have a Bible, we will get you and give you a Bible. But we are people of the Word. We're Word people. Man, his happiness, his existence, and his success is not just having his physical needs met. But man shall live by every word of God. It's one thing to go about your life every day. It's another day, another thing to start every day and make it clear that you're seeking the approval of God and not the approval of men. And there is a dividing many times in that. And I don't mean that you have to be religious or ugly to people, but there are things that people that are famous in the throne room cannot be a part of in this life today. And it's becoming clearer and clearer, isn't it? Amen. Amen. But I'm going to, and I mean that sincerely, if you don't have a Bible, you just let us know. We're going to put you in the Bible business. And I'm going to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. And my thoughts are about the throne room tonight and the fact that there are people that are famous in the throne room. And it's not most of the people, according to Jesus Christ. It's only some of the people. For it is written, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it, the gate that leads to eternal life, that leads to the right path in life. Amen? In Isaiah chapter 66, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, and here it is in the NLT, the New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that? Could you build me such a resting place? My hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will bless those who have a humble and a contrite heart and who tremble at my word, who respond to my word, who are moved by my word, who are corrected by my word, who are encouraged by my word, who are healed by my word, who believe in the word of God. They build their life around the word and not circumstances and not the flesh. For it is written, love not the world, nor the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, it's not of God. And baby, it's passing away. It's all passing away. So what are you going to live for? And what are you going to die for? Is there anything in this life? Is there a code? Is there something that's worth living for and something for worth giving your life for? I say it's God and His will, and His will is in His word, and His word is in His will. They're inseparable. Amen? It's high time that people that are planning to be successful in Jesus can quote more Bible verses than they can movie lines or lines of songs. What's in your heart? Because Jesus said this, the good measure out of the good treasure in his heart bringeth forth good things. Amen? And that's what we're hoping for you. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, we're not going to go there. Isaiah the prophet had one of the most astounding, moving visions of the throne room. And my thought is, you, if you're on God's criteria and on God's time clock, you were famous in the throne room. You are favored in the throne room. You are blessed in the throne room, but you have to go there. Amen? Amen. And Isaiah the prophet said this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I had a vision of God. And it is said to be, by theologians, one of the most moving, if you understand what's being said, visions of the throne room of God, where God resides over heaven and where God resides over earth. And he said the glory of God was in there. And God was high and lifted up in there. And his train, how many of you know what a train is? On a bride's dress, on a king's cloak. It's that big, long thing that people go by and they'll follow after it. And it said, the Lord's train, and it was talking about his glory and his presence, absolutely filled the entire, oozing out of the throne room of God, where God is, where his presence is, where his, right now, his son is. And the scriptures declare positionally, illustratively, true children of God, covenant children of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, are the children of God. Not everyone that cries to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in. But those that are my children. And the way that we discern, it's not a tattoo on your hand. It's this. Does he know you? For many he will say to, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You were too busy quoting songs, living a life that has nothing to do with anything. that doesn't glorify me. Revelation chapter 4 says that creation, mankind, was created for the pleasure of God, for his pleasure, and for thy pleasure we were created. Thou art worthy, O God, of our worship. We have to take our born-again, recreated spirit, and we need to feed it, and we need to train that born-again spirit to live for Christ, to live for God. It doesn't happen by accident. It's as you set yourself in the Father's hand and give yourself to knowing and pursuing his word and his will for your life. All the work in God's throne room is about mankind. That's all we see. We can speculate, but what we have, what we understand in the throne room where the 24 elders are, where the beasts are, all and where the Son of God is, seated with his Father, all of that has to do with how God is dealing with mankind at his footstool, the earth. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. And the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the face of the earth, looking for somebody that he can show himself mighty through. Let me give you a hint. There has to be a surrendered heart. There has to come a time that you say in your life, all to Jesus, I surrender, all to him, I freely give. It has to come to that. How often? Every day of every day. Every moment of every day. Every choice that we make. We learn to take our born-again, recreated spirit and make right God will choices. Everybody say, God's will needs to be the highest thing in my life. Think about that for just a moment, because in just a moment, this word will be over. I'm not here to get too philosophical with you. We just usually go to two or three places. And next, I would like to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, and verse 8. If you have your Bible, make yourself find that in the Bible and use your Bible. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised us, when he raised Christ from the dead. He gave us life when did salvation hit the planet? When God raised his Son from the dead. God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Amen? For he raised us from the dead along with Christ. That's what it means to be saved. Any other church creed is junk. If you learn to feed yourself the truth, as Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And what I had to learn in my generation, is being free was not burning your draft card, or doing some of the despicable things my generation did. Being free is to be set free by the Word and walking and living in the Word and being guided by the Word and led by the Word. And it's a wonderful life. I've been living that life since the summer of 1971. And I added that all up. And I must tell you that on October the 24th this year, just a few days ago, I became 70 years old. And I never thought about being 70 years old. I mean, when you might think about being 30 or 40. I remember when I turned 40, Mary McFarland got a black wreath. And she put it on the church. We were having church on the square. And that was for my 40th birthday. And I remember 50 and 60. And I loved all of them. And I don't know if I'm twisted or what, but I think it's kind of cool. I am looking forward to this decade in the 70s. I think it's awesome. And it's wonderful. And what we see in verse 6 here, for he raised us from the dead along with his son, Jesus, the Christ. Messiah means the anointed one in the Old Testament. Christ means the anointed one in the Greek language in the New Testament. And seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are not united with Christ Jesus. We are positionally, scripturally, and in a word of power, we are seated in the throne room right now with Jesus Christ, who is seated in the throne room with his Father. We are beings that are shaping this planet the way God wants it to be. Now, let's look at verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. Now, God saved you by his grace when you believed. When you believed. God is waiting for people all over this planet to believe, because he will save every person. Even people that you really don't like, if they'll believe. God is looking for believers, not church attenders, not people that carry Jesus around in their hip pocket, and every time it's convenient for them, they pull him out and say, well, here's my Jesus, and put him back. God is looking for people that believe. If you believe the way God's talking about, it'll change what you say. It'll change what you think. It'll change what you do. And ultimately, it will change your destination of where you're going. That's going to be very important when you draw your last breath in this life. How many of you, not even talking about heaven right now, but if there's really a lake of fire, of torment, how many of you would like to avoid that? Amen. Amen. That's one thing. The other thing is this here. There is a heaven, a place called there, a place called heaven that is so awesome that when the Apostle Paul had a chance to tell you and tell us what it was all about, he said, I can't even describe it. It's kind of like the Mounds Bar. Indescribably delicious. It's a wonderful place. It's where we want to be. I don't know anybody that wants to go to hell. I've heard of people, me and my friends, will be partying in hell. You know, take a lighter. Any lighter from Walmart. A little propane lighter. Click that thing on and put your hand there. See how long you can hold it there. And then we'll see. What if that was a lake? An inescapable lake of fire There are five prisons spoken of in the Word of God. The final destination for all humans that rejected Christ and for all fallen angels is a place called the Lake of Fire. We don't want to go there. We want to be blessed by the Lord. And hear this, how this works. It's a simple revelation. God saved you by his grace when you believed. It takes two things. Don't ever kid yourself. You and I don't have anything in the world to save ourselves. God saved you by his grace, his unmerited favor towards you and toward people, even people you don't like. Hey, I hate to tell you, he's willing to save everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But God saved you. It's a twofold thing. God the Creator, heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. God the Creator, he embellished you with grace when you believed. Don't raise your hand, but ask yourself, if I believed, have I crossed over? Have I crossed over? Have I crossed over to the other side of life where Jesus in an old rugged cross is waiting for me? Have I crossed over? I'm not asking how many times you came to church this month, and you should come every chance you get. I'm asking you, have you crossed over? There was a stormy sea. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, boys, get in the boat. We're crossing over. We're going to the other side. God's got another place he wants to take you. He wants to take you to this other side of life, to a place where God can save you the moment you believe. I can still remember that exact moment, that exact day. I, honest to goodness, I thought I was having LSD flashbacks. I really did. When I asked the Lord to come into my life, and I've heard of other people having this experience, that when I opened my eyes, it was like everything was illuminated. My life was different. Something happened to me in a moment. Why? Because I believed. In a moment, I believed. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Hey, look. If a person accepts food stamps and unemployment checks, Jesus Christ, don't leave earth without him. Amen. I mean, it's a no-brainer. And God loves you. And he makes it very clear in this scripture when people take you to certain places. God saved you the moment you believed. And if you haven't come to that moment, make it your business to come to that moment of saving faith in your life where you know that you know. Something happened. And now I know. He touched me and made me whole. In the summer of 1971, on the east side of San Jose, California, at my mother's kitchen table, when a man just blew my mind and challenged me to live a different life, to give the Lord what was left of my life. We are in the throne room, on the throne with Jesus, and only God's children are there. The whole world ain't there. I've heard this a trillion times. Well, we're all God's children. Well, no, that's not quite true. No, it's that moment when you took his saving grace and you believed and you took it to yourself. Are you born again? I hope you are. I'm not going to ask you tonight. I'm not going to have an altar call. What I'm asking you to do is be challenged. Are you born again? Are you born again? Is the fruit of your life different? I'm not asking if you're perfect. I did my best sinning after I got saved. I got saved when I was 19 years old. I sinned a whole lot more in the last 50 years than I did in the first 19 years of my life. I'm not proud of it, but I just got a sneaky feeling. If I tell you the truth, you might be able to relate to it. And this thing called Jesus, this person called Jesus, this walk called salvation might be just a little bit more rare to you. Last place that I want to turn tonight is the book of Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to read verse 14, 15, and 16. And remember, this is the truth. No matter what you're going through, if you're born again, you are famous in the throne room. If you're born again, there is power in places like this place here. And teachers like me are to help you and teach you how to activate your salvation. If you're a born-again person, you're seated with Christ. You're in a seat of ruling and dominating over this planet. Hebrews 4:14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. How do you hold firmly to what you believe? When any force asks you to act different than what you believe, you begin to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Not this time. I'm changing. Lord God, I confess to you today that you are the potter and I am the clay. You have every right, and I'm asking you to mold me into whatever you think I need to be. Lead me, because Lord, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. I don't care who hates me. I shall not want. I don't care who disagrees with me. I shall not want. He makes me to lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And I like it. See, I can't backbite. I'm not supposed to like other people do. But you know, I can answer them with this. There's something about when God prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. It's the best. The absolute best. God, I've been at the Lord's table for 50 years. And hear me very, very clearly. Don't mishear me. And it's not, I'm not sitting here with Jesus because I did everything right and because I never sinned. No. I'm sitting here with Christ because he's been good to me. Because he paid for all my problems and sins. He loves me. And the exchange is I let him change me. And every day he changes me a little bit more. Paul was an old man about to die when he said, I've not arrived yet. So understand that about yourself and about salvation. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Remember the last place? God saved you when you believed. God saved you when you believed. If you have not believed yet, he's still waiting to save you. Now we're talking over here in Hebrews. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Verse 16 is powerful. So when I want something from the Lord, you know, there's a saying when I was in the trades, you don't want to have to back up backwards to get your paycheck. And when I ask something from the Lord, I enter in boldly because I'm his child. He's my father. I enter boldly, not because on my merit, but on the merit and the integrity of the cross of Jesus Christ. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Sometimes people need it the most. Sometimes people just need God's help. I need it every day to one level or another. And I have no trouble saying that I am not my own man. And I love Frank Sinatra. I love his song, I Did It My Way, but I'm not doing it my way. I'm doing it his way, bless God. And my advice to you is, you do it his way too. Those are my thoughts. From a loving heart, I love every one of you. God has taught me how to love people, even the jerks. I mean, I've learned to love people. How many of you got a jerk or two in your life that you're working on loving them? Yeah. The rest of you, you ain't telling the truth. Listen to me. This is the time, because the word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for us to examine ourselves right before we take communion. And so let us make an altar where we are, if you can. If you're physically, you can't get on your knees, or come to this altar and examine ourselves, and we will take communion right now.